One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is a continuation of the message, How to Take Possession of What Belongs to You.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. You there? Okay. Read from verse 19. Can you seen it? One, two, go. Hallelujah. He says, to wait, to bear witness. He wants it declared that God was in Christ. He wants the world to know. He wants everybody to know God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Reconciling the world of sinners, people, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. That's too big to swallow. God reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. He's not counting their sins against them. The soul that sinned, it shall die. That's why Jesus came. So that this time you can listen that he's not mad at you because of your sin. God is not angry with you because of your sin. No matter how bad it is, he's saying, come, I'm not angry with you. Somebody paid for you. So don't die without God. Don't keep living your life in sin. Why? Someone paid the penalty. So God's not counting your sins against you. So he says, come. He's calling. Come. No matter how bad, no matter how wayward you've been, come. He sees everybody the same. Because the same price was paid for everybody. Whether you only told a half lie or you killed 10 people. He's saying, come. He's not counting your sins against you. He's reaching out his love and saying, come. Somebody said, how can I come to God except I am clean first? No, he says, come. No matter how bad, come. This is the time to come. I'll give you life. Come. That's his call. That's what he sent us to tell the whole world. That's why it's called gospel. You mean I'm so bad. And you don't care that I'm so bad. As you come to God. Yes, come. You're not too dirty for God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ washes our sins away. So he says, come. When? Now. He says, when you hear that voice, don't harden your heart. Don't say next week. Because next week is not promised you. So come and come now. That's what he says. But you see, that's one side of the story. That's our word. The word that we take out to the whole world, to the sinners. He says, come. God wants you. God loves you. He's not asking you to clean up first before you come. Because you could never clean up. So he says, come. I'll clean you up. Praise the Lord. When I round up this message, every one of you who's not been born again, you need to come. You've got to answer that call. It's too important. Don't ignore it. You may have ignored it for so long, but not today. Not today. Not today. Don't ignore it today. Now, those of us who have been born again a long time, isn't that amazing that after we've come to Christ, we think that He's mad at us. He's not answering my prayer because I did something wrong. You know, sometimes we think that way. We wanted to pray. Now we can't pray. I have a score to settle with God. You see, you believe you got a score to settle with God, so you... Hallelujah! Just remember. Then Satan says, even that second hand, take it down. Take it down. Take it down. You're trying to worship with happiness. Take it down. You know yourself. Then you are trying to sing. He says, you can't sing here. Shut up. After some time, it's not everybody that's crying in glory worship. Some are crying because God is so wonderful. Some are crying because, I'm sorry. And you would think that after that crying, it'll be all right. No, they don't have God talking to them, but it's the devil. They cry. You're going home, he says, be going. There's no time to fellowship, but just go home. Because many don't understand how Satan operates. He is the frustrator. Understand his names in the Bible. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser. Okay. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. Have you found it? Glory to God. See, if Satan can frustrate you, rob you of your joy, he'll rob you of your effectiveness. All right. Read from verse 8. Read. While we were yet sinners, listen, he says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, he's talking about the love of God, the greatness, the magnitude of the love of God. He says, God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not because we did something right. While we were still in sin, Christ died for us. He died for us not because we were good, but while we were evil, his love brought Christ to die for us. Now, he wants to send somebody to hell for not wearing his scarf. No. You see the thought of it. Because she didn't wear a scarf during prayer. Now somebody believes she's going to go to hell. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He so loved us while we were in sin. Christ died because we were so vulnerable to God. He sent Jesus Christ. Now he wants to send you to hell. So then, what makes a man go to heaven then? No. If because I told one lie before I entered this room. I told a lie at the gate there. Someone asked, where have you been? I said, I've been around and I just came. Then my conscience now, you have not been around. You have not been around. I say, oh God, forgive me, you have not been around. You just lied. And you're just coming to church. You are going to hell. All liars! All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. Sulfur, brimstone. Hey! Are you there? You sure? Okay, we have not finished. You read verse 8. Read verse 9 and read verse 10. Go on. I don't know what you read. Read verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now being reconciled. When we were God's enemies, it took the death of his son to bring us to him. He says, now that we are reconciled to him, we shall be saved by his life. No wonder the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Where is his life? Saved by his life. Not his life in heaven. His life in me. Remember, the subject of his discourse begins there in the fourth chapter and runs into the fifth chapter. So he opens it up. Therefore, being justified by faith, we are at one with God.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 0902-969-2794 or participate in our online church at www.cebeninzone1.org on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. God bless you.